Hello and welcome to another episode of the Duct Tape Marketing Podcast. This is John Jantz, and my guest today is Derek Coburn. He is the founder of a networking group in Washington, D.C. area called Cadre. He is also a partner at Washington Financial Group and the author of a book we're going to talk about today called Networking is Not Working. Stop Collecting Business Cards and Start Making Connections. So welcome, Derek.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
So I probably don't do enough. I've been doing this podcast for a lot of years, and a lot of times I just jump right into the subject, and I figure, well, people know who this guest is probably, right? But I'm really trying to make a conscious effort to let people tell a little more of their backstory, how they got here. And because I think a lot of times, especially in the online world, you and I have known each other for a couple years now, maybe, and so I kind of have that history with you, but I don't really know where you came from.
Yeah, I mean, I'm relatively still a punk in the ultimate scheme of things. So I had the wealth management business, which I started right out of college in 1998. I was doing really well with that from the start, and it was mostly because I was better at handling rejection than just about anyone else, because it was all about cold calling back then.
Yeah.
And was putting in my 80 hours a week, and things were going well. And I started reading books, in 2007, 2008 of the, Seth Godin variety, as opposed to the best practices for financial advisors. And one interesting quote from Gary Vaynerchuk in The Thank You Economy, he reveals all of these great marketing strategies that we can use in a digital world. And oh, by the way, if you're in legal, if you're in law or in finance, you're pretty much SOL. And there were portions of my business that I really liked a lot, and I wanted to preserve those. So I decided to create Cadre as a way to scratch that marketing itch, if you will, because obviously in the financial world, that you're very limited from a compliance and regulatory standpoint with what you can do.
Yeah, and maybe dive in a little bit, explain what Cadre is, because I think it's obviously it's a local play in the D.C. area, but I think there'd be a lot of people, and you write about it in the book, but I think there'd be a lot of people that would be really interested in that model.
Yeah, in fact, we just launched in Baltimore, and we're definitely looking at testing the scalability of the model and hopefully be able to put it in other areas soon. But I think what really makes us different from other organizations out there is that we're vetting not only for quality and tangibles, i.e. what's your job title and how much revenue do you produce, but the intangibles specifically. Are you a pay it forward person? Are you showing up looking for what you can contribute? And while we didn't really know how it would play out initially, what's happened is everyone shows up. We have over 100 members in DC right now. If a new person joins and no and that has led to a lot of our members hiring each other, referring each other opportunities much earlier in the relationship development process, if you will, had it taken place in more traditional settings.
So before I got on the call today, I was checking email, and just literally like 5 minutes ago, I got an email from the local Chamber of Commerce talking about the mixer, the networking mixer that they're hosting later this week. I think it's Thursday, and it just kind of dawned on me. I sad to say, I belong to the chamber. I don't think I've gone to one of those events maybe ever. But do people still participate in that sort of traditional networking event where it's kind of show up to see who's there?
Believe it or not, I think they do, and I also think that people really aren't aware of how much time they're wasting when they attend. So, I mentioned cold calling earlier. At least when I was starting off in business, I couldn't wait to get to the point where I didn't have to rely on cold calling, because you feel that pain, that rejection every single day. Whereas you could go to networking events all day long, multiple times a week, and have perfectly nice conversations with perfectly nice people and not realize how unproductive that time is. And I even, one thing that I've always said is that any business owner that has a line out the door of ideal clients, and they're spending all their time working with people they love, would those people ever even go to a networking event? And I think, you know, the answer is probably no, which also contributes to why more and more of the types of people that you want to meet are not showing up at these types of functions.
Yeah. Well, we probably should have started with this. You have what I think is a very succinct and accurate definition of what real networking is. And you spend, I think, a full chapter kind of debunking what, you know, everybody else calls it. I can actually read this, or is this something that you can actually cite? I'd love to hear it in your words.
Sure. So,
but I'm an author too, so I know sometimes people do that. They say on page three, you said X, and I'm like, what did I say?
No, I think I know what you're talking about. I refer to but I appreciate the pass if I didn't. But so I essentially say networking is any activity that increases the value of your network and or the value you contribute to it. And I don't really think that necessarily has to do with attending these larger traditional events where you have a lot of people showing up for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah. You go as far as, and I think you quoted some other people, and by the way, one of the things I really do like is that you really do reference a lot of the books and maybe kind of the places where you feel like you were mentored by authors, and so there's a slew of books that you mention in here. But you go as far as talking about calling some traditional networking professional one-night stands.
That's, yeah, and obviously one of those books is Referral Engine, among your other books, and so for a guy like me who doesn't have the budget for extensive research, hopefully that at least by showing that I'm well read establishes a little bit of credibility. But yeah, I mean, I think larger networking events are like nightclubs because everyone's sort of showing up, looking at what they can, how they can benefit, what they can get out of it. And I sort of draw the analogy to dating. And if your objective and your goal is to develop really good professional relationships that take a while, if you're approaching it from an authentic point of view, you know, it's kind of interesting the way most networking books and advice steers you towards that networking event. Whereas if you buy a book called How to Find the Love of My Life or How to Meet My Soulmate, they do not begin with chapter one, step one, continue going to bars and nightclubs every night.
That's funny. Well, so, all right. So the obvious next question is, I get that I need, and frankly, that's why people go to those things. It's like, I know I need to build my network and have a better network, but how do I expand it then?
Well, I think that the reason why I would tell you that just about every networking endeavor that I participate in or am involved with is a success because I'm always thinking about how it can benefit my existing clients and my existing relationships. And so if networking 1.0, where everyone sort of begins, is you're showing up because you think you're going to get clients out of it, well, most of us realize that's probably not going to happen. And unfortunately, there's still a good percentage of professionals out there that think that it will happen. But then there's like this evolution of networking 2.0, where it's all about what can I do for you and how can I help you? And that's always been kind of weird to me. It's like if I just met you and you're telling me that you want to do something for me, I'm sort of thinking like, why is that? And I think it's important before you put your reputation and any of your clients on the line with somebody that with another professional that you at least know them well and know that they're going to make you look good.
Yeah.
And so networking 3.0, which I sort of made all this stuff up, networking 3.0 is where you're thinking about your clients and some of the best relationships you have and what they need and what a good client for them looks like and how you can support them. And I found that whether online or offline, by talking to people about the upcoming challenges or issues that they have, they'll mention something that they have going on. And almost every time it has nothing to do with what I provide. But if I can connect the dots and introduce them to what they need, it's very low risk, very high reward in terms of making a connection like that.
Yeah, and that's really a mindset shift too, because a lot of people think, well, here's what I sell, here's what my company does. You know, I want to go in for, you know, getting that result or getting that sale or seeing if I can help them with that. But really, I think the people that that have the mindset you're talking about, and I think some of the most successful people actually walk in and say, if I'm going to be really valuable to you, Mr. or Mrs. Client, I'm going to think about everything you need and not just what I do. And I think that that sort of takes a rather expansive view of what your job is.
Oh, absolutely.
You relate a story about a client of yours that in the book that was pitched by somebody else, a competitor, so to speak, and that competitor had a compelling pitch that said, "Hey, I could have saved you X amount of money or made you X amount of money." I can't remember exactly how it went, and your client said, "Well, that's great, but Derek sent me I want to say it was like $2 million worth of business, or referred me like $2 million worth of business," and you have a great term in there. You talk about it that. Idea being the ultimate tiebreaker, right? That now, because somebody has a 5 cent cheaper widget or can save 3% on a service, that it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of us, our biggest competitor is indifference. I mean, if somebody wasn't happy with their existing provider, they would be proactive about finding a new one. So when you enter, when you arrive on the scene, it's not like, oh, I love this person, I'm never going to switch things up. And I've just found that if you ask most professionals what would be the best thing that would happen in your business today, they would say getting a referral. And sort of taking that a step further, well, what's the best thing that I could do for my clients today? And in a way where I'm not making idle promises, I'm not telling this to people that I don't think I could do that for. But I found that that's an easy way, instead of trying to put forth a lot of time and effort to be just a little bit better at the core deliverable that I provide, to make this an additional part of the value proposition.
And I think you have to go deep into this too, because I see a lot of people who they read a book somewhere or somebody gave them that idea and they race off and so the next time they call me, they say, how can I help you? What can I send your way? And I think that it almost comes off disingenuous in a way, because either we don't have that relationship or they really haven't spent the time to understand my business well enough to actually know what a good introduction would be for me. And so I don't think this is something that you can just say, oh, I'm going to go out and start doing that tomorrow.
No, I mean, you talk about this in the referral engine with the trigger phrases, right? Yeah. And really just understanding, okay, I think a lot of people assume Derek knows or John knows that I own an IT company, but really, what does that mean exactly? And what does a good client look like? And how will I know if they appear in front of me?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is even somebody who's a client of yours, their little view of what you've done for them, may not be expansive enough for them to actually go out and talk to other people. So it really is an important element. I want to kind of end today on a pretty big concept, actually. But in a lot of ways, obviously, before you wrote the book, you created your own networking group. So you spend some time talking about how to do that if somebody's thinking about it. And it would seem to me that would kind of be the ultimate way to do it, right? I mean, because you get to set the rules, you get to pick who comes in, you get to talk about what follow-up looks like. And would you say that is one of your messages, really, is that everybody should do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great way for, especially for anyone who has a business with recurring, a recurring revenue model. You have recurring clients as opposed to being more transactional. That what I did, I would facilitate roundtable lunches. I would host wine tasting events. I would there were a lot of things that I did, but it all started with a core group of really good clients of mine who were also business owners that would benefit from interacting with others who shared in their mindset and approach to networking and building up these relationships, and then some of their key advisors, and then I would go out and identify some of the other top people in the area. And and of course, back then with Cadre is now 100+ people, and we charge for it. It's a separate business. But back then, it was putting forth the work and the effort to just add a lot of really good value, and then positioning myself in a way so that these people who were appreciative and wanted to reciprocate, if you will, I'd make it easy for them to do just that.
Yeah, and what I really appreciate about the book, this is kind of my writing style too, is you don't just talk about it as an idea. You talk about, here are the lessons we learned. Don't do this, do this. I mean, all the way down to, you know, where to sit, where to eat lunch, you know, where, how to get a place. And I just really, I think that's so useful when people are able to break down kind of, here's exactly what I did. It may not be the only way to do it, but it's, you know, it's a way that, that worked for us. And I think that's always a really valuable thing when an author does that.
Yeah, thank you.
So the book is available end of April, and by the time most of you are listening to this, it'll be out in about. I know it's available in the online stores. You want to talk about anywhere else that people might learn more about you, learn more about the book itself?
Yeah, so they can get more information on the book at my website, DerekCoburn.com/book, and that will direct them to Amazon and on Twitter, which I spend more and more of my time, because I actually view that as one of the better, larger networking events. It's sort of always open, and there's a lot of ways you can apply this to your interactions on Twitter. So on Twitter, I'm CadreDC.
And I'm looking forward to being with the Cadre Group myself, I think, later in June of this year, 2014. And I'll get to see firsthand exactly how that thing operates.
Yeah, June 12th. And we're looking forward to seeing you there as well.
Well, Derek, thanks so much. And best of luck with the book. I know it's a solid book. It will do well. It's great, great lesson people need to hear, and need to hear in several ways. And so I appreciate you spreading the word.
No, thanks so much, John.